The choir sang a song while during the praise and worship. It says, "O glorious God, we worship you. We lay our crowns and bow and worship before you." And that reminded me of my experience when I first gave my life to Christ. And I will come for fellowship. And I will see people worshiping. I will be wondering what is making them happy. Because I was used to where during praise and worship you put your feet behind and clap. So I was wondering, what's making these people rejoice? What's making them happy? Some will kneel down in worship. Some will roll on the floor. I will come in my suit from work, 5:30 on a Monday evening. I didn't want to dirty my suit coming from the office. I was so full of myself in my early years as a Christian. And one of the days later, the Holy Spirit explained to me what happened in Revelation when the 24 elders, the Bible says, they cast their crown before Jesus and worshiped him. And God explained to me, your crown is the peak of your achievement. It is what defines you, your accomplishment. Oh, you have a PhD, that's your crown. You are a reverend doctor, that is your crown. You have a beautiful job, you are a CEO, that's your crown. You're a top businessman. Money is not your problem. The problem is how to spend it. That is your crown. Oh, you are very beautiful. Everybody knows that you are beautiful. That is your crown. You have wonderful children. That may be your crown. Oh, you're a very good grandma. That may be your crown. Your car is the best. That may be your crown. Your house may be the best on your street. All these are things, accolades, that you are legitimately proud of. But when we come before God, all these things pale to insignificance. We remove all the crown and put it before the Lord Jesus. Oh, glorious God, we worship your name. We lay our crowns and worship you. Oh, glorious God. We sing that song. What makes you glad? What makes you proud? What makes you happy you are a Christian? What has the Lord done for you that you rejoice about? Consciously dedicate it to the Lord this morning as we take that song again.
Glorious God, oh glorious God, we praise your name.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Before you took the crown in heaven, you had a crown of thorns. You took the pain for us. You went the cruel path to die for us. So whatever we are now is because of you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We bow before you this morning, joining the hosts of heaven, the 24 elders round about our throne. Everything that looks like a crown to us, consciously we cast them before you. We declare you are the source of all things. From you all things have emanated, and we dedicate them to you, dear Lord Jesus. So this morning, as we go into your word, we ask, dear Lord, that you please reveal yourself more than ever before to us. Thank you, precious Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Technical, we will need microphones here for people to answer some questions, because we would like to start with a few questions today, and I want you to volunteer. Otherwise, you know I have the grace to volunteer people. I want a teenager. If you're a teenager here, just wave your hand, and you are proud to be a twinkling teen. You are a teenager, wave your hand proudly above your head. God bless you. Which of you would like to tell us who a Christian is? Teenager, you'd like to tell us who a Christian is? Now everybody is quiet. Who is ready to bail the cat? My twinkling teens. Who is a Christian? Okay. You with your mask dangling. Yes, yes, come. Use your mask, please. And please, let's use our masks properly in church. So who is a Christian?
A Christian is a person that believes in God and worships God.
That believes in God and worships God. Let's clap for her. Members of the Youth Connect, they are connected to heaven. Who is going to volunteer to tell us who a Christian is? I have some people in mind already, but please volunteer before I volunteer you. Who is a Christian? Youth? Now there's quietness. Oh, very good. I know the worship team of the youth are loaded. Brother Sam.
A Christian is a person who hears from God and obeys God.
Who hears from God and obeys God. Let's clap for him. God bless you, Brother Sam. Now to the babas and mamas in the house. Who is a Christian? Somebody from the adult church. Brother Ernest, please come.
Praise God. A Christian is one who believes in God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Very good. Who believes in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's clap for Brother Ernest. And so that's the issue we want to address this morning, who a Christian is. Is this somebody who comes to church? Is this somebody who bears a Christian name like I've always borne? Is this somebody who preaches like I'm preaching? Is this somebody who sings in the choir or works as an usher? Who indeed is a Christian? I would like to explain with four words. A Christian is converted. There must be conversion. Nobody was born a Christian from his mother's womb. All of us were born sinners. And so we are addressing this issue to ensure that all of us are on the same page. For you to become a Christian, there must be conversion. Let me explain this through four words. The first is guilt. G, guilt. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Every human being born of man is a sinner. We have sinned through Adam and Eve, who we can all trace our lineage to. Every one of us, whether you are born by a pastor or born by a bishop, notwithstanding, everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. That's you and I have guilt hanging on us, number one. Number two, inability. We are unable to save ourselves. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, all our self-righteousness is like filthy rags. You are guilty, and by giving alms at Sabo, by helping the motherless, cannot save you. You are unable to save yourself. Number three, G-I-D, the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are guilty, unable to save ourselves, but somebody paid a price by his death. His name is Jesus Christ. So the death of Jesus has made provision for our sins. And finally, S, salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go through the four again. Number one is G. What does that mean? If you don't talk, you will come and preach for 5 minutes here. What's number one? Guilt. What's number two? Inability to save ourselves. What's number three? The death of Jesus Christ. What's number four? Salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That process must be passed through to become a Christian. A Christian is not somebody who comes to church, who preaches like I'm preaching, who is an instrumentalist or a singer or an usher or a pastor. That doesn't make you a Christian. You must have accepted the fact that you are a sinner who could not save him or herself, and Jesus died for you, and ask him to save you. That brings what is called conversion, salvation. If you are here and you have not experienced conversion, don't play church. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. in the same way as putting your generator in your garage does not make it become a car. You need to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. You need to realize that you are a sinner who cannot pay for his sin, but someone paid the price fully for your sin, whose name is Jesus. You need to accept him into your life, confess your sin, and that's the beginning of walk with Christ. So my question is your name in the book of life? Is your name in the book of life here? Have you met my Savior? Is your name in the book of life? Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus? Have you bowed down before his throne to ask for forgiveness for your sin, to recognize that you are a sinner, and to ask him to forgive you and cleanse you, and to make a commitment to him? That's a starting point. And conversion is just the beginning of a process. We are talking of who is a Christian. The first is that there must be conversion. The second is that there must be contact. Because conversion is the beginning of a lifelong relationship. So there's need for that contact, not with your pastor, but with the Savior. Everything about being a Christian is about Jesus Christ. You leave Jesus Christ out of your life, you cannot be a Christian. The Bible says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Outside him we can do nothing. So when we are converted and we recognize him as Savior and as Lord, is the beginning of a lifelong relationship with Jesus. Many relate more with their pastor than with Jesus. To many, it is what my pastor said, this is what my church says. But your pastor did not save you. Your church did not save you. Jesus did. And so he is the one that we should maintain contact with from the time we meet him till the time he will come for us. Conversion, contact, thirdly, communication. Having become a Christian, it is expected that you be in communication with your Savior on a daily basis. Somebody mentioned it. I think it was the teenager. You be in communication with him through daily closet experience, where you speak to him in prayer on a daily basis, and he speaks to you through his word on a daily basis. This oils that relationship. Many are specialists in prayer, but we go to God for in prayer for our needs only when there's fire on the mountain. Whereas God wants to know you in the closet. You must be a regular person in the closet. So when you come, he will say, wait, my son has come. Oh no, keep quiet, my daughter has come. Because you are not a stranger to him. If I ask if you have read the Bible from cover to cover before, can I see your hand up? At least once. You have read the Bible from cover to cover. Please, your hand above your head. Above your head. God bless you. Above your head. From Genesis to Revelation. You have read it at least once. Above your head, please. God bless you. Those who have not done it, I wonder what you have been doing. We read what is on Facebook. We read many Christian literatures. Oh, social media does not give us the chance. Whereas God wants to speak to you every day. As a believer, 24 hours should not pass without you reading the Bible. It's like a human being who does not eat 1 day, 2 days. A few days ago, we fasted. But rice and soup has become very plenty since yesterday, isn't it? Can you now imagine going 3 days without eating? So are you a famished Christian without reading the word? You speak to God in prayer. He speaks to you through his word. And so, as a Christian, you are not only converted, you are in contact, regular contact. You are communicating with him on a daily basis. And finally, you are committed to him. And that's the crux of the matter. That's where we'll be stopping and praying this morning. Are we here this morning? If you are here, say, I am here. As a Christian, don't forget we have said the fulcrum, the most important object of our life is Jesus Christ. And so, what happens to us as a Christian is that we are committed to Christ. I'm not talking about committed to your pastor. I'm not talking about committed to your church. I say you are committed to him who loved you, who died for you. So what does it mean to be committed? It means what he asks you to do is what you will do. What he says don't do, you never do it. Even if everybody else is telling you to do it. So, if you are going to be a Christian, you must remember that it is important for you to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many things will come to challenge our commitment. Our needs. Many times we will have needs that are very urgent. If we don't meet the needs, it will be as if the alarm will blow. And then the only way to meet the need is to do something against God's will. Have you been there before? The need is urgent. If you don't meet it, you will be put to shame. And everything is pointing to the fact that you better use wisdom. It is when you are committed to the Lord Jesus that you know that there is no compromise. It is either you perish or you perish. In other words, Jesus alone I will serve for the rest of my life. And he will never allow you to perish. Many times his will, as contained in his word, conflicts with what your will is. I've been in situations before where I wanted to do some things. I was so pressed. I was so interested in doing them. But I knew that God did not want me to do them. So the choice was mine. Should I fulfill my will or fulfill God's will? That is where commitment comes in. As a Christian, you have to be committed to the Lord. Come rain or shine. But the major obstacle to our commitment is people's opinion, people's will. We live in a society where there are not many Christians. And so, people do some things and expect you to do the same. Commitment to the Lord makes you to draw the line. Who am I going to fear? Is it my friend? Is it my lecturer? Is it my neighbor? Is it my family member? Or is it God? What is popular? Let me remind us. At the end of age, you are going to face a one-man audience. His name is Jesus Christ. Everyone you are trying to please will not be there then. Everyone you are trying to please, everyone you are trying to be like, will not be there to defend you. So Jesus is the only one to be committed to please. In the way you dress, in the language you speak, in the music you listen to, in the way you spend your time, in the way you live, who are you committed to? So as we go to prayer this morning, my dear brothers and sisters, I want you to reestablish your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if you are born again. Can we bow down our heads to pray? Okay, before we go along in prayers, if you want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus, you want to ensure that you are converted, you want to acknowledge your sin and ask Jesus to forgive you and come and be your Lord and your Savior, please raise up your hand where you are. You want to accept Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Please raise up your hand above your head, please. Anybody? Before we go, God bless you. Any other person? Please do not leave this place unconverted. Do not leave this place without receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Any other person? Thank you, my dear brother. Any other person? Please raise up your hand above your head. When I see it, I will ask you to put down your hand. Okay, if you have raised up your hand, please join me here. Any other person? Any other person before we pray? Please say this after me, my dear brother. Dear Lord Jesus, today I recognize my sin, and I acknowledge that Jesus already paid the price in full. Jesus, I now invite you to please wash me and save me and write my name in the book of life. Please help me to maintain contact with you throughout my life. Help me to be committed to you for the rest of my life. Jesus, please keep me to the end. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I thank you for my brother, for your word says there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. I pray, dear Lord, that you will wash and cleanse him, that you will write his name in your book of life. I pray, dear Lord, that you please keep him to the end. Thank you, precious Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please return to your seats. For as many as are genuinely saved, talk to God about your closet time, your communication time with God this year. Jesus said, you cannot even pray for 1 hour. In other words, it is expected that you spend 1 hour before God praying and reading the Bible every day. Dear Lord, this year, let my closet time be revived. Revive my closet life. That on a daily basis, I will pray to you. On a daily basis, I would hear through your word. Lord, habits that make me not to give you priority when I wake up. Checking my Instagram, my Facebook rather than praying and studying the word. Checking my WhatsApp messages and calls that I missed. Lord, help me to have the right priority going forward this year. Thank you. go to the next prayer point. Lord, I give my lifelong commitment to you. Can we stand up to pray that prayer? My lifelong commitment to you. If I have to choose anything, I will choose you. If I have to choose anything, Lord, I will choose you. I will not choose my will. I will not choose people's will. I will choose your will against my will. I will choose your will against people's will. Express our commitment to the Lord Jesus, who died for you, who has a purpose for you, and who is coming back for you. That we have said, you cannot do it unless the Lord helps you. So we're going to depend upon Him. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength. Your power, come in your own special way.
Can you ask Him to come afresh into your life? Holy Spirit.